Gopijana Vallabha Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Gopijana Vallabha Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Jayo Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Namuna Tiravanachari Jayo Kunjabihari Jayo Namuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Kunjabihari Jayo Jayo Ratha Madhava Jayo Kunjabihari Gopijana Vallabha Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Jayo Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Jayo Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari Chayo Kunja Vihare Chayo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Jayo Kunja Vihare Jayo Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Privraja Gacharya Totara Sata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Totara Sata Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Nanta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sadigura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardham Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Dham ki, Shri Jagannath Puri Brukshottama Kshetra Dham ki, Ganga Mai ki, Yamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritam Naram chaiva narotamam Devin sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam nudiraye Etat sarvam grihastasya Samannatam yater api Guru Vrittir Vikalpena Grihastasyar Tugamina. Sorry, before we'll do the pranas to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, The Perfect Society for Spiritual Classes, Text 11. Etat sarvam grihastasya samannatam yater api guru brittir vikalpena grihastasya grihastasyartugamina etat sarvam grihastasya samannatam yater api guru brittir vikalpena grihastasyartugaminah etat sarvam grihastasya samannatam yater api guru vrittir vikalpena grihastasya artugamina etat, this, sarvam, all, grihastasya, of a householder, samannatam, describe, yateh api, even of the person in the renounced order, guru brittik vikalpena, to follow the orders of the spiritual master. Grihastasya, of the householder, ritugaminaha, accepting sex only during the period favorable for procreation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life. The Grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. Purport. It is sometimes misunderstood that a Grihastha, a householder, is permitted to indulge in sex at any time. This is a wrong conception of Grihastha life. In a spiritual life, whether one is a Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, or Brahmachari, everyone is under the control of the spiritual master. For Brahmacharis and Sannyasis, there are strong restrictions on sexual indulgence. Similarly, there are strong restrictions for Grihasthas. Grihasthas should indulge in sex life only in accordance with the order of the Guru. Therefore, it is mentioned here that one must follow the orders of the spiritual master, Guru Briti Vikalpena. When the spiritual master orders, the Grihastha may accept sex life. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.11. Dharma viruto bhuteshu kamosmi. Indulgent in sex life without disobedience to the religious rules and regulations constitutes a religious principle. The Grihastha is allowed to indulge in sex life during the period favorable for procreation and in accordance with the spiritual master's order. If the spiritual master orders allow a Grihastha to engage in sex life at a particular time, then the Grihastha may do so. Otherwise, if the spiritual master orders against it, the Grihastha should abstain. The Grihastha must obtain permission from the spiritual master to observe the ritualistic ceremony of Garbha Dhana Samskara. Then he may approach his wife to beget children, otherwise not. A Brahmana generally remains a Brahmachari throughout his entire life. But although some Brahmanas become Grihasthas and indulge in sex life, they do so under the complete control of the spiritual master. The Kshatriya is allowed to marry more than one wife, but this also must be in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master. It is not that because one is a Grihastha, he may marry as many times as he likes and indulge in sex life as he likes. This is not a spiritual life. In a spiritual life, one must conduct one's whole life under the guidance of the Guru. Only one who executes his spiritual life under the direction of the spiritual master can achieve the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. If one desires to advance in spiritual life, but he acts whimsically, not following the orders of the spiritual master, he has no shelter. Yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. Without the spiritual master order, even the Grihastha should not indulge in sex life. Vaitat sarvam grihasthasya samannatam yate api guru vritir vikalpena grihasthasyartugamina. All the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life. The Grihastha, however, is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanan Jana Sadakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukham karoti vachalam pangulangaya tigrim yat kripatam aham bande shri gurum dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishiksha Shunyavadi Parchate Adeshatarine Panchakalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Chai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Good morning everyone. Thank you for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this chapter, in the previous chapter, the duty for the four varnas were discussed, and in this chapter we are discussing the four spiritual classes: Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. And in this particular verse, it is explained that the duties, or all the rules that were described before, apply equally to all other classes. So the rule for brahmacharis also apply for householder and sannyasis, with the exception that under the permission of the spiritual master, a householder may indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita explaining Dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi, that indulging in sex life without disobedience to the religious rules and regulations is a religious principle. So, I was thinking how the scriptures are very strict about sex life, and the main idea is that the scriptures are strict regarding the goal of human life. The purpose of human life. And the purpose of human life is to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. Then, so what is wrong with sex life that is forbidden during brahmacharya life and sannyasi and vanaprastha life? It's given permission in grihastha life and just only for procreation. So that's the standard. So what's so wrong that it's forbidden? And in modern society, and there is no such restrictions. Usually that restriction in sex life is coming from religious traditions. However, in modern society there are restrictions also. And even there are people who go to jail because of misconduct in sex life. So it's not that it's also in modern society it's totally free, but we know that there are, every society has certain rules regarding in terms of behavior with the opposite sex as in general. I was just for out of curiosity checking some statistics. And for example, we have in North America, in the US especially, there are 293,000 situations of sexually assault, of sexual assault, of people, victims of sexual abuse. So every year, so every 1 or 7 seconds. So that means less than 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted, for example. And then 4 out of 5 of assaults are committed by someone who knows the victim. That's more than 70%. And so it seems that there is, the scriptures are not at all out of date in terms of warning about putting some rules and some restrictions regarding our sexual behavior. And we see that when people do not have any capacity to restrict themselves, they end up abusing others. And that we agree, almost in many, most of the countries around the world agree in giving punishment to those who misbehave according to modern standards. So, in Vedic culture, it was not only restricted sexual life only to abuse, but it was restricted at all in the student life, in the renounced order of life, and in the retirement life. Only was conceived for procreation. And I grew up in a Catholic school, and we also I was taught like this, that also that sexual life was for procreation. And so this is a religious tradition. And then there are restrictions, we see in modern society, like there are laws regarding like an adult person cannot have sex with a child, of course. And so even we know that there are people who abuse children. So if they cannot restrict themselves, so therefore they need the police or being punished. And there are so many cases all over the world, within even religious institutions. So then when it comes to the scriptures, then one may think, well, it's not out of fashion, because there is something. It's not that they are restricting something that is not considered an issue in modern society, but even in modern society it's a big issue. Sexual life, there is a lot of debate in many things, even. In the Vedic culture, there are in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially, it's described many of the failures of the spiritual practitioners are due to sexual life also. The great stalwarts of jnanis are presented in the scriptures. then they have some problem, and then they fall off, at least for some time, from the spiritual path. And this is also happens in modern religious context. So we know stories always about either a priest, a monk, who is preaching to thousands of people, and then something happens, and he falls into sexual life. Or even there are people who are preaching against, and very strict, no, like, sexual life is abominable, it's the worst, it's an animal behavior. And then the same person who has been preaching is doing the same that he was condemning. So such a, it seems there is such a strong energy that even people who are against it, they are also indulging in it. And it's so powerful that it's considered sacred. According to Bhagavad Gita, it's sacred. It's not abominable. Sorry for my English. It's, yes, sometimes I want to have some word. Abominable. Okay. It's not that it's considered the worst. On the contrary, it's considered the highest. Actually, and therefore, it should be taken by the people who are well trained. Otherwise, that sacred energy is misused, can cause so much pain in others, and so many problems in society, since, like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Adharma Vivat Krishna, he said that his source of adharma, if there is no a planification for children, then it is called Varna Sankar. No, children that has not been planned, it's random, because of there is a casual meeting between a lady and a man, and then as a result comes a child that nobody wants, but someone has to take care of. And according to the Vedas, this is called Varna Sankara. It's a population that wasn't planned. So therefore, then there is problem to give them education, and because it wasn't planned. So the parents may not didn't have a plan. So therefore, they don't have enough money to send them to school, etc. And they may have so many troubles among them that they cannot resolve the problems of the kids. So therefore, according to the scriptures, it needs planification, and is considered sacred, and it's allowed only for those who are willing to have a family. So if you are not willing to have a family, it is advised to don't practice sexual life. And then you can use that energy to study scriptures. And channel that in relationships, but not based on, you know, on taking, we can say, not based on I scratch your back and you scratch my back. No based on trying to enjoy from the material vision of the other person and seeing the person as a source of my own enjoyment, as a big orange that you can squeeze and take all the juice, and then after you took all the juice, you look for another orange. But it is advised to have relationships in which you try to serve others and help them especially in the spiritual level. And when you are in married life, you have relationships also that are healthy, but you try to create the family, and then you, if you care of the family, you have to care in all levels. I mean, economy, you have to provide them the food to the children, economically, emotional care, spiritual care. So it's a whole engagement. So it's so important that Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the spiritual master was involved in the life of the grihasthas, or to the point that they couldn't have children or engage in sexual life without the permission of the spiritual master. So the main question is, so how if this is possible or is not possible? What the scriptures are presenting. Even within the spiritual society. So this is for all times, can be. So we'd like to hear.
Just say, yes, it's possible.
Okay. So we have one. So while Prabhupada, he said it's possible. And nobody else said. But two, it's possible. Three, it's possible. Four, I'm very optimistic. Nice. Okay, yeah, what I'm going to say, Srila Prabhupada brought this, it should be possible, maybe difficult. Lisa, I have a letter of Srila Prabhupada said to one disciple that he was having problems in, he was very sincere with the spiritual master, with Srila Prabhupada, so he's expressing that I have problems in controlling my sex impulse. So Srila Prabhupada said, I understand that sometimes you feel sex urges and frustration. In the material world, sex urge is the binding sensation of eczema. If not one can satisfy the sex urge by legitimate marriage, immoral sex life and spiritual advancement are incompatible proposition. And then he gives us the solution, your full engagement in Krishna consciousness and constant chanting will save you from all inconveniences. And there's an. So, Srila Prabhupada acknowledged his disciples and they have problems. It wasn't that he gave us the standard and he was pretending that everyone will be able to follow perfectly. And at the same time, he couldn't or he shouldn't change the scriptures just because people were having problems. But as a spiritual master, he was very understanding. And But in the solution also didn't compromise. There is only one solution of being able to come to the standard and become Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of the restriction, is just to help us to become Krishna conscious and be engaged 24 hours. Then to another disciple, because there were many disciples trying to follow perfectly, but they were having problems. First of all, I think you should know that such problems are not very unnatural, because in the body, the conditioned soul is very prone to failure. But also we must remember that such failure will not discourage us from executing the most important mission of our life, to become fully in Krishna consciousness. So whatever disqualification of whatever fall down has been, you should be regretful about it, but it is not so serious, nor is it a permanent disqualification. So there were sincere disciples of Srila Prabhupada who were telling, I initiated disciples, I'm having problems, I fall down. And then Srila Prabhupada is explaining that, yeah, that may happen, but it shouldn't be a cause to stop your endeavor for self-realization. You should continue, because it's not a permanent disqualification, but you should be regretful about it and continue. And then for this disciple, he advised marriage, for he was a brahmachari. That's just my point, is that there will be, the acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, they understand, so that they are giving a high standard, and they understand that not everyone will be able to come up to that standard immediately. Therefore, there is training. And in the Vedic culture, there was training from we have seen that the training started very early in life, in the brahmachari life. They were small children, and they were trained. But by the time they feel sexual impulse, they have already gone through a professional training. And nowadays, we don't have that training. But Srila Prabhupada was so merciful that he gave the opportunity for boys and girls to live in ashrams, even though they didn't practice brahmacharya from childhood. It's a great opportunity, because there are many advantages. And then, later on, then one can take to Grihastha life when you have some training. And in that way, we can follow what is in the scriptures to some extent. So all other duties, like in text number 6, the brahmachari should be quite well behaved. That's for all ashrams. It's not that a brahmachari have to be well behaved and then the other ashrams, they don't have to. So it's, and gentle, and should not eat or collect more than necessary. That's for all ashrams. No, collect more than necessary. It's not that in Grihastha life or sannyasi life, others, you can collect more than necessary. That's a general instruction according to the verse that we're reading. All the rules and regulations apply equally to householder and sannyasis. So there are other instructions. He must also be active and expert, fully believing in the instruction of the spiritual master and the shastra. So all the rules and regulations that we read before are applicable, with the exception of that for the brahmachari and sannyasi, in vanaprastha, in vanaprastha also, indulge in sexual life. Only grihastha can do it, but under the permission of the spiritual master and only for procreation. And then we have, I'll talk a little bit about that, the scriptures and the acharyas, they understand that not everyone will be able to follow. Therefore, they establish a training, they start from early childhood. But our acharya, understanding that we didn't have that training, he established the ISKCON centers in which you can start brahmachari life, even if you are 20-year-old, 21-year-old, and even if you're 40-year-old, you can join an ashram if you fulfill certain qualifications. And also Srila Prabhupada understood that understanding with disciples that were having problems. And the main idea is that if we are not successful right now, we should continue to try, because the goal of human life is to reestablish our relationship with Krishna, and nothing should stop our endeavor. So if we have a permanent, temporary failure, like here Prabhupada is saying, but it is not so serious, nor it is a permanent disqualification. You must try to check yourself on such artificial things and take full shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So that this is the advice of our acharya, to take shelter of Krishna. And yes, if we take shelter of Krishna, then everything becomes simple. So the only difficulty, how we take shelter of Krishna, what does it mean to take shelter of Krishna, and how the spiritual master can help us to take shelter of Krishna, and how we can take shelter of the spiritual master. These are the real issues behind all of our problems. Okay, I think this is what I have to say. Is there anyone who wants to say, add something on how devotees can practice and follow the standard of the scriptures?
Explore question. You read that letter of Srila Prabhupada that shows so much kindness and encouragement, understanding, you know, that is with a conditioning that one brings, is not an easy thing to deal with. And one thing that Prabhupada mentioned is the repentance, which shows, you know, you preface the whole thing. These are very sincere devotees who were having problems, and their sincerity shows in their repentance. And then because of that sincerity, you put the two together and you can see that, you know, with those conditions are there, Prabhupada says that, you know, that you just keep going and going, and it's not very serious in terms of the power of the sincerity of the devotee. It makes it, you know, that it's a temporary thing. So, you know, the verse from the Bhagavad Gita that even if the devotee commits, you know, some abominable act because it's fixed on the past, then it's a temporary thing. So it's not taken very serious, both by spiritual master and Krishna. Although Prabhupada in that purport, he says, don't get comfortable with this. You know, you should not take it for granted and be very attentive. So the power, repentance means one have to, you know, make a very strong effort to correct.
Exactly.
So that's there. What you're thinking, there is repentance that is very positive when you have that impetus for, you know, correcting. And then there is when it takes the shape of guilt, you know, and you feel you have people that rather than to have an impetus to elevate, you know, yourself, then it takes the shape of guilt that you have an input, you know, that have a downward type of result, that, you know, people may start to think, give up, you know, you can't, you know, it's the guilt. When repentance becomes guilt, and guilt, you know, has, you know, this negative
effect.
In the person's, you know, impetus to overcome that. So how what would you say to a person that goes through something like that?
Well, to go, you mean a person who is repenting, or a person who?
When the devotee, or, you know, anyone who is trying, you know, is often, especially in religious circles, you know, there's so much explanation of how the negative implications of, you know, breaking rules and regulations, breaking, you know, religious principles, that, you know, you have people that the way affecting is, you know, there's this guilt that involves the person's, you know, sort of a relationship with, you know, the religious institution. So that it can be a negative thing in the person's, you know, elevation. So how do you help? The question is how to help someone who is affected by guilt in a negative way.
Well, guilt is not a. So being a repentance, Prabhupada recommends that, even in the sixth canto. But guilt, or like here, the Prabhupada is advising the disciple to continue. You know? It seems that the disciple is feeling guilt, so he may be presenting the excuse, no, I'm so fallen, etc. The same story. So this process is not for me, it's too much, I cannot follow. And then going totally off. So the advice is always, the goal is to achieve prema, love for Krishna. So we should, the advice always to continue and not dwell too much in these temporary failures that we may have. That actually is the path to success if you continue. And like Bhaktivedanta Swami, he wrote some books in the Spiritual Warrior, and he used to advise many devotees in that level, always encouraging them to practice. I am not an expert in that, in giving such advices. However, it's easy to understand that Srila Prabhupada will always encourage the devotees and never make them feel guilt, because this is not a strategy of helping someone. So the idea is to create an environment where the such devotee they can practice a better Krishna consciousness, and also being around of devotees who don't make them feel in such a way, because the guilt comes from doesn't come from oneself only. It comes because of the environment, because of instructions. It can be because of the scriptures, because by reading the scriptures then you want to follow, but mainly because of the society in which you live, but especially the society of devotees. So what, one thing is that one have to make sure that the devotee knows that you love him, that the devotee's love, even though, so he doesn't have to bribe the devotee with behavior to show, to be accepted among devotees. Like, devotees should be always like friendly and loving, even though if a devotee is having some problems with his practice. It's not like, if, for example, to give lesser example, if you don't come to Mangalarti, then you lose the friendship of the devotees. I mean, you may lose, maybe the temple life is not possible for you, but not the friendship. Because then you feel guilt, because I didn't do this, now I'm failing to all of them. So as Krishna himself is always ready for us, even though we have been failing him life after life. But he's always there. So in the same way, the devotees, by creating an environment where people can fail and go on without having to use hypocrisy, for example, in order to be accepted. So then by creating a nice environment, then most probably people won't feel guilt when having, like Srila Prabhupada, so they were able to openly write a letter to Srila Prabhupada and with their names, everything, explaining and having this problem, and then they continue. I don't like to say the name here, but not because it's forbidden, because it's not the purpose of my class, because the idea is that we focus on the instruction and not in disciples, a specific disciple, because they are expressing their feelings, and somehow this letter became public later on. So therefore, I prefer to don't say the name, because the original intention was a private letter. And however, it's there in the Veda base. But many of these disciples, like one of the disciples, for example, in this letter, and he later on became a big leader in the society also. And so it's not that Prabhupada said, no, because you had some problem in the past, now he didn't work in that way. So they continue practicing and they become more successful. And when I said leader, I said someone who was able to inspire others. No, it's not like because otherwise it doesn't mean anything, but he was able to inspire himself and inspire others. And the other disciple, he went off of Krishna consciousness for many years, but later on, at the end of his life, he had very good friendship with devotees. And he was friend of one Prabhupada disciple who stayed in the movement the whole time. And this Prabhupada disciple, at the time of death of his friend, he went to see him. And he chanted Hare Krishna for him and brought everything, tulsi leaves at the time of death. And this devotee was very grateful. So he finally was very successful at the time of death. He had the proper blessings, and also he had friendships. So, I don't know if I answered your question. Yeah? Okay, so, yes, Mataji.
I was hearing a lecture yesterday and it was the same point, so I just wanted to add on to that. Prabhu was asking, what do we say to a person who is undergoing the problem of guilt? So the lecture I was hearing was by Srila Rompad Swami, and somebody asked Maharaj the same question, what would you say to a person who is undergoing the problem of guilt? So the way Maharaj replied it was, he said, in our Krishna consciousness, we all go through hills and valleys. So it is not that we get elated by a hill and we get depressed by a valley. But then in any situation where we should look for satisfaction and happiness and nourishment is towards the relationship which is helping us in progressing in Krishna consciousness. So instead of looking at a hill or a valley, looking at the relationship from where we are getting nourishment and not feel encouraged by a hill and depressed by a valley, but feel encouraged that you have a relationship which is always ready to guide you forward, whatever is a hill or a valley.
That's nice. Thank you so much. Okay, so I think we are, if nobody else has a question, we can end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.